This morning, I want to preach to Christians, and I want to help you, and I want to help you in making your next big decision. I don't know what your next big decision is, but God does. You may not know what your next big decision is, but God does. And I want to help you this morning as we're looking at making some big decisions. I think these principles that we're going to give you this morning will be helpful. So Genesis chapter 12, look at number 4. So Abram, that was Abraham's name before it was changed to Abraham. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, that's Sarah before her name was changed. Abraham took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. Now go to chapter 13 and verse 5. We're going to follow the story of Abraham and Lot. Genesis 13 and verse number 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. I'll read a bit more here. Verse number 7. There was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Look at verse 10. This is a very important part of our message this morning. And Lot lifted up his eyes. He had a decision to make. He needed to choose where he was going to go. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. I want to talk to you about making decisions this morning, and I want to challenge you, and I hope that you will allow God to work in your heart this morning, because you do have some decisions to make. And as a Christian, every one of us has to make some decisions. And I want to help you with some Bible principles to make those decisions. I guess the reason I'm burdened about this is because this is graduation time. Last week I preached a message kind of similar about serving God. And I thought back to graduating and thought back to those that time right in between my graduating from high school and then going to college and just thinking about some of those decisions that have to be made during that time. And I know we've only got a few people in our church that are right at that age, but the principles that we're going to give you are going to apply to you no matter what age you are or what stage in life you are. I went back in my mind and I was thinking back, and I'll use a couple personal illustrations just as the beginning of this message, but thinking back to those decisions that I had to make in those 5 years between graduating from high school and graduating from college. I went to University of New Mexico for 1 year, then I went to Hiles Anderson College for 4 years, so I spent 5 years in college. But in those 5 years between graduating from high school and graduating from college, I was faced with most of the big decisions in my life. Now, there's been big decisions since I graduated from college. But some of the biggest ones, and these are the same big decisions that you will face if you are in this stage or you're almost to this stage. If you're in high school, I want you to listen very carefully to this message, because these are some of the decisions that you are going to be making sometime in the next few years. Here's some of the questions that you have to answer. What do I want to do with my life? Okay, there's a big question for you, right? It's not an easy answer. Maybe God has already put in your heart and you know what you're supposed to do with your life. When I was 10 years old, God called me to preach. And it was just very clear. I knew from the time I was 10 years old that I was supposed to be a preacher. But I still had this decision that I had to make. I knew what God wanted me to do, but I had to decide to do that. The question, what do I want to do with my life? Well, here's another one. What am I going to do to prepare myself for the rest of my life? Now, those are two different questions. What am I going to do with my life is different than how am I going to prepare for what I'm going to do with my life. Now, those of you that have made some of these decisions, you can look back and you can think, those were really big decisions. For me to stop and decide what I'm doing with the rest of my life, this is a big decision. You could call it a life-changing decision, or a decision that's going to guide the rest of the time you spend on this earth. But how do you prepare for it? What am I going to do? What are you going to do? Let me ask you this way. What are you going to do to prepare yourself for the rest of your life? No matter what age you are or what you've accomplished in your life so far, let me ask you this question. What are you going to do to prepare yourself for the rest of your life? It doesn't matter if you're 17 or 18, just getting out of high school, or you're 40, 50, 60, 70, or 80. What are you going to do to prepare for the rest of your life? Here's a question that I had to ask myself, and it was a hard question, and I struggled with this one. Where am I going to go to college? Am I going to go to college? What am I going to do next in the preparation? Here's a very tough question that I had to answer, and you are going to have to answer this question. Every person in here, regardless of your age, you've got to make this decision, and here it is. What am I going to believe? What am I going to believe? As a young person, you may believe what your parents believe. You might. But you can't live on what your parents believe. You've got to obey the rules while you're in the house, so you do what you're supposed to do while you're there. But once you're on your own, what are you going to do? What am I going to believe? That's a big question. And that is a question and a decision that I remember having to make. What am I going to believe? Here's a big one. Who am I going to marry? All of these questions, all of these decisions, it's interesting how that happens. They all come up right at the time in life when really we are least capable of making some of these decisions. Now, if you're right in that time period between 16 and maybe about 22 years old, you're thinking, I am absolutely capable of making those decisions. You'll think different later. Later you will. When you look back and you, if you're like me, I'll just testify here for just a moment. If you're like me, you'll look back and say, man, I was dumb. Now, some of the decisions I made ended up being good decisions. Some of them weren't so good decisions. But you'll look back and say, wow, God's grace is sure evident if you make the right decision. You look back and say, I sure wasn't ready for that. Isn't it interesting that during the time of our lives when we are least capable of making the biggest decisions of our life is when we have to make the biggest decisions of our lives? We need to lean heavily on counsel. We need to lean heavily on the Spirit of God in us. So who am I going to marry? That's a big decision. It's a decision that will affect the rest of your life. I forget who it was that we were talking to, my wife and I. Somebody was traveling through, and she'll probably remind me later. But somebody that we sat down, we were talking to, and they reminded us just how the person that you marry will determine so much more about the rest of your life than you realize right now. We think it's just going to be the person that we're going to spend their life with and love each other and, you know, look, you know, googly eyes at each other or whatever it is you can share coffee with together in the morning. Listen, that person will determine so much about the rest of your life. There's areas that we don't even think about that they're going to determine. Here's one. Where am I going to live? These are big questions. As a 17-year-old or a 16, 17-year-old, one of my greatest goals in life was to leave Albuquerque. Anything I could do to be out of this city would have been wonderful for me. I just thought that was the solution to all of life's problems. Am I the only one? Anybody else kind of have that? Okay, so I'm not the only one with that. Wherever it was that you grow up. And I remember thinking, I just want to go somewhere else and somewhere else where there's better stuff, more fun, whatever it was when you're 16, 17 years old. And just thinking, I want to go somewhere else. Now I want to be here. This is where I grew up. But it's some place that God has put me now, and I want to be here. But where am I going to live? These are big questions. I remember thinking, okay, I'm going to graduate from high school, and I'm going to graduate from college. I could somehow, I didn't think it all through, all the details, but I thought, I just really want to just buy a cabin out on a lake in the mountains somewhere and be a hermit. That's really what I want to do with the rest of my life. That's what I would like to do. And it turns out that's not what I really would have liked to do, but at the time I thought I would. Here's a question, and a decision that we need to make. And you may not have to make this one yet if you're 18, 19 years old. Some of you may. But as you get a little older, you have to ask yourself this question, make this decision. What guidelines will I use to raise my children? So there's the big question, what am I going to believe? But now there's the question, how am I going to teach my kids that? I know a lot of you, you're thinking that's a long ways in the future, and it may be. It's years in the future. Those years go by fairly quickly, and you'll need to make this decision. What guidelines am I going to use? Am I going to rely on the parenting magazine that comes in the mail that I didn't even ask for every month and get tips from that and raise my kids that way? Am I going to rely? I was in the dentist office, and they have a TV going on in the dentist office, and there was a show on there. What was the name of it? It was The View. The View. Am I going to rely on these five or six women that are sitting around the table, and Whoopi Goldberg being one of them? And am I going to rely on them to help me to know how to raise my family? And you know, that's what a lot of people are doing. What do they say on TV, or what do they say on Facebook? Or what guidelines am I going to use to raise my children? These are big decisions. How do we make the right decisions? I hope you're listening. I was being pressured from several different directions to make decisions. Anybody, you felt pressure to make decisions ever? All right. If you have been asked this question, we've got a couple of graduates in our auditorium this morning. If you've probably been asked this question. So what are you going to do when you grow up? Zulika, has anybody asked you that yet? What are you going to do when you grow up? Are you getting tired of that yet? Yeah, okay. I'm tired of it still, all right? And they're asking me, what are you going to do when you grow up? And do you ever feel that pressure? Like you got to be this or you got to be this? Some of you, you're adults and you remember. Think back. Go down memory lane with me. Do you remember that? The pressure? You got to be this, you got to be this, you got to be this, you got to do this. There's a lot of pressure, and I remember that pressure. You got to remember, at 10 years old, I was called to preach. I was sitting on the front row of an auditorium down in the South Valley. I was sitting right there, and a missionary, Tom Pace, from Peru, South America, was preaching. I believe he was in Lima, and he was preaching at our missions conference that week, and God called me to preach. I came forward to the altar, and I surrendered to preach, and nobody came and prayed with me, so I went back to my bench, my pew. And I was sitting there for a little bit longer, and I just kept feeling the Spirit of the Lord. I felt this conviction like I've never felt, and I know it was one of the most clear days in my life. And I came back to the altar. How many of you come to the altar twice in one invitation? I came back to the altar, and I prayed again. And I went to my pastor, and I said, Pastor, God is calling me to preach. From that time forward, I knew what I was supposed to do, but I had a lot of pressure to do other things. I really did. There was a lot of pressure. My pastor wanted me to stay around and help in the church. My Christian school principal wanted me to go to Bible college. Those are two different directions. You can't please both people in that case. My dad wanted me to go to UNM. He was a professor there. I had a scholarship, and because it was close to home, and he wanted me to have a career to fall back on in case the ministry didn't work out. Now listen, we've learned a lot, and we've all grown a lot since this time. But at the time, that was the pressure that I was getting from home. Now, I did stay home that 1 year, and I did go to UNM for that 1 year, and my mom did my laundry for a whole year as a college student, and my mom packed my lunch every day for a whole year as a college student, and I would stop by my grandma's house on the way home. I thought it was going to be fun. You only have to go to school half a day? This is awesome! And I thought, I'm going to go fishing, I'm going to go camping, and it turns out you're supposed to do homework in labs and stuff like that. My uncle wanted me to go to UNM to be a teacher in a public school. I wanted to go somewhere. This is what everybody else wanted me to do. I wanted to go somewhere where I could have fun and not have so many rules. I was 17 years old. That's really what I wanted to do. It wasn't bad fun. I'm not talking about, you know, wicked, evil stuff. I'm just talking about, I just want to enjoy myself. I've been in school almost every day for the last 13 years. I need a break, right? That's the thinking of a 17-year-old. And I didn't realize how much harder the real world was going to be. And once you don't get summer vacations and Christmas vacation, you know, stuff like that, it's different. It changes. But I just wanted to go have fun. I thought about joining the Air Force Academy because I didn't want people, you know, telling me what to do and rules and stuff like that. I ended up going to UNM. And I told you the reasons for that. You know, life is a series of decisions. Where you end up in life is a result of the decisions that you make. You may not always make the right decision, but your next decision should be the right decision. We read about Lot this morning. Abraham came to Lot and said, Lot, look, we've got too many animals between us. They're ranchers. You've got too many sheep. I've got too many sheep, too many camels, too many whatever else they had. We've got too much. Lot, we've got to make a decision. And he gave Lot the opportunity. He said, Lot, you decide. You go one way, I'll go the other way. You go that way, I'll go that way. But we need to split up because we've just got too many animals for the land that we've got here. Our people are starting to fuss with and fight with each other. There's a decision to make. The Bible says that Lot chose the plain of Jordan. He looked at it, he chose it, then he went there. So many people ruin their lives by following up a bad decision with another bad decision. You're going to make bad decisions in this life, and it's going to happen. But if you follow up your next decision with a right decision, you can get to where you need to be. Have you ever told a lie to cover up a bad decision and got yourself in more trouble? Am I the only one that's done that? You've told a lie, all right? And so you did something wrong. What you weren't supposed to do, and you lied about it. Then what do you have to do next? You either have to tell the truth or you lie about it. And then what do you do next? You still have a choice. You either have to tell the truth or lie about it. The more lies that you tell, the further down into that hole you dig yourself, and the harder it is to tell the truth. So the bad decision should be followed up with a good decision to tell the truth. All right, so we're going to talk about making these decisions this morning. You know, maybe you don't tell the truth because you're embarrassed, or maybe you think you'll never be accepted again by whoever it is. Maybe you think there's no use trying once you already messed up, but following a bad decision with a good decision will help you get back on track. You got some options this morning. You're going to make a decision. If you make a bad decision, I want to encourage you right now, if you make a bad decision, just make a good decision the next time. Start going back the right direction. We get ourselves in a lot of trouble when we keep making bad decision and bad decision and bad decision and bad decision. God is a God of mercy. God's a God that will forgive you and help you get back to where you need to be. You've got to make a good decision. So I applied to UNM and I was accepted. I received the scholarship that I'd been promised. I passed the test to become a lifeguard, and I worked at the campus swimming pool. And through all of that, God miraculously protected me from so many of the dangers that I didn't see. Looking back, 20 years later, looking back, I was walking through a minefield with a blindfold on, and I didn't even know it. This was dangerous. I was a Christian kid at a public university with really no instruction. I didn't live in the dorms, and I thank God for that. But I really didn't have any teaching. I didn't pass out one tract the entire time I was on campus. I didn't witness to one person. I tried to hide the fact that I was a Christian. And then I made some friends that I shouldn't have made. Some bad friends. These were friends that went out partying. Most I was too young. That's probably what saved me a lot. I was just too young. I couldn't go partying with them. They would have a lifeguard meeting, and they would have it at a bar. And that was their lifeguard meeting, you know, training meeting or whatever it was. I just couldn't go. I was too young. I still had roots in church, and that helped me to stay right. But God miraculously protected me from so many of those dangers. By the beginning of that second semester, I was miserable. I knew God wanted me to be a preacher, never witnessed, didn't pass out a tract. Sometime in that time frame, I heard a sermon about doing God's will. Right after that, it's like God started hammering me. Right after that, my Christian school principal asked me if I would ever find the right girl to marry at UNM. I still remember it. We were driving up one of the back mountain roads, and I was with him for some reason, and he just looked at me and asked me, he said, Dave, let me ask you a question. Are you going to ever find the right girl to marry there? And I started thinking through all the girls that I knew, and I was like, no. I knew that wasn't going to be. I knew I was supposed to be a preacher. I knew I was not in the will of God at the time. Late one night, as I was working on an English assignment, my dad came in. He asked me if I wanted to go to Bible college. And he told me he'd support me in any decision I made. That changed my life. That fall, I enrolled in Bible college and followed up a bad decision with some good ones. I believe God protected me through a bad decision and several bad decisions that I made. But after that, I was able to make a good decision. I want to give you some principles about decisions. And let's look at Lot for just a moment. Lot was forced to make some decisions. Lot chose, the Bible says, the well-watered plain of Jordan. He didn't choose to live among the men who were wicked and sinners in Sodom, but he chose the plain of Jordan. He didn't choose for his daughters to marry unsaved men. He just chose the plain of Jordan. He didn't choose for his wife to get so attached to the wicked lifestyle of Sodom that she couldn't leave it, and then be turned into a pillar of salt. What did he choose? He just chose the plain of Jordan. The decision that Lot made to live next to Sodom and Gomorrah and to pitch his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah, that wicked city, that was the decision that led to so many other decisions. He didn't choose to become friends with the wicked men of Sodom. No, Abraham said, Lot, you choose one way, I'll choose the other way. And Lot said, I'll choose the well-watered plain of Jordan. It looks beautiful. It looks like a great place to raise a family. But it was close to Sodom. The Bible said he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He didn't choose to live among men who would live so wickedly that God would have to destroy the city. That wasn't his choice. He chose the plain of Jordan, but it led to that. He didn't choose to become a man of influence in a wicked city. He just chose the plain of Jordan. He didn't choose to raise daughters who would get him drunk and conceive children with him. He just chose the plain of Jordan. All of the problems that came in Lot's life could be traced back to this one decision, and that was the decision, I think I'm going to raise my family in the plain of Jordan. He could have chosen any direction, but he chose the plain of Jordan. If Lot would have stopped and considered the consequences of living in a wicked city, he may not have moved there. There's seven factors, I'm going to give them to you quickly, that I think would have helped him make the right decision. I think would help you make the right decision. I'm going to give them to you fast. I know we're running low on time this morning. Like seven factors. Ready? Seven factors. There we go. Are you with me here? All right, two of you are. Let's go. Factor number one, the mate factor. The mate factor. Lot's wife, the best I can figure it, was either from Sodom or she liked it so much she couldn't leave. I don't know where Lot met his wife. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But we do know that she loved whatever it was about Sodom so much, Sodom and Gomorrah so much, that whenever she was leaving, the angel said, don't turn back and look at it or else you'll die. And she turned back and she looked at it and she was turned into a pillar of salt. Next to your salvation, the mate you choose is the biggest decision you will ever make. This is a huge decision. Lot's decision cost him his mate. So let me ask you this question. How will this decision affect your wife or affect your husband? We'll make it real practical right now. What decision are you making? What is the next big decision in your life? And think through this. If I decide this, how will it affect my husband, or how will it affect my wife? If you're not married yet, think this way. How will this decision affect my future husband or my future wife? Let me just make it really practical for you. The decision to date who you are dating right now, young person, will that be a good thing for your future husband or wife, or a bad thing for your future husband and wife or wife? You may just be with somebody right now because it's fun, it's enjoyable, you got company, you've always got somebody with you that you can talk to, and you can enjoy this time together. But think about it, is that person a godly person that will eventually compliment your future husband or wife? Maybe they will be that person, but will they be a good one? Is this the decision that will help your future marriage? Or is it going to hurt your future marriage? You've got to consider that right now. The choice to attend, for me, UNM, and the question, Dave, are you going to find the girl that you're supposed to marry at UNM? That was huge for me, because I knew the girls that were there, some of them. I'm sure there were some great godly Christian ladies there. I just didn't know any of them, all right? I knew like two girls, so that's just the way it was. I knew it wasn't the right place for me, because I was supposed to be a preacher. I was supposed to be marrying somebody who could be a pastor's wife, somebody that would love God, somebody that could serve along with me as I served. And I just knew that wasn't going to happen, at least anybody that I knew there. Okay, so factor number two, the children factor. The children factor. Think about Lot's kids for just a moment. The men that they chose to marry, he had daughters, the men that Lot's daughters chose to marry ruined their lives, all right? I mean, that's a pretty easy way to say it. Lot came to his daughters and said, listen, the angels of God said that if we don't leave the city, he's gonna destroy the city with fire and brimstone. If we don't leave the city, we're going to die. And the Bible says that his sons-in-laws, I'm not sure the right way to say that, his sons-in-laws, they laughed at him, they mocked him, and they just stayed right there. That means that Lot left the city. He took his wife with him, and he took two of his daughters with him, but he left other daughters in the city. And when the fire and brimstone fell down from heaven and that city was destroyed, Lot's daughters were killed because they wouldn't listen. Because Lot came to them and said, "It's time to go. We've got to go." And their husbands, who they never would have met if Lot had not moved to this area, their husbands kept them there. The men that they chose to marry ruined his daughters' lives. The philosophies that his children learned in Sodom caused problems for Lot's family for the rest of his life. Lot's decision cost him his children. So let me ask you this. How will this next decision affect your children? We live in a society that we don't even think about that so many times. We'll date somebody and we'll do stuff with somebody we should never do, not ever thinking about how is this going to affect my kids. We make career changes without really even thinking, how is this going to affect my kids? How will this decision affect your children? This morning you came to church. That's a great decision. It's Memorial Day weekend. It's a hard Sunday to go to church. A lot of people aren't going to church today. They stayed up last night partying and keeping the rest of us awake. They're trying to sleep. But you came to church this morning. That is a decision that will impact your kids, I promise you. The fact that you brought your family to church this morning will make a difference in a good way for your kids. There's the mate factor. There's the children factor. Then there's the family factor. Lot's family was broken up when he was forced to leave. I mean, we already talked about this, but Lot's decision cost him his family. What decisions are you making right now? And what decisions are going to cost you your family? Man, let me challenge you. This is huge. I guess women as well, but men, we use the word adultery because that's a Bible word. The decision to commit adultery, that is having an affair with another woman, you may think that it's not going to be known, people, it's not going to be that big of a deal. Whenever we sin, we kind of make this bubble around ourselves and we think nobody's going to find out about this, it's not going to affect anybody. Listen, that sin will destroy your family. Let me just give it to you very plainly. It destroys family. Let's be careful in how we treat members of the opposite sex. Let's have propriety. Let's be right in our decision making. Lot's decision cost him his family. How will this decision affect your family? There's the mate factor, the children factor, the family factor. How about the friend factor? Lot's friends tried to make Lot give up his way of escape from the city. Let me explain that. The angels came in to the city and they came to Lot's house to warn him. And they came to Lot's house and they said, "Listen, God's going to destroy the city. You need to get your family. Get out of here." Lot said, "Come into my house. It's not safe to stay in the streets." They came into his house. The people of the city, the Bible says all the men of the city, Lot knew these people. He was one of the leaders in the city. The Bible says he sat in the gate. He was one of the esteemed leaders in the city. These people that he knew, they came around the house and they started beating on the door and they said, "Bring out those men that we may know them." And they wanted to commit lewd acts with them. These friends of his tried to make Lot give up the way that he had of escaping from the city. That was those angels. Lot's friends didn't respect him, just what he could give. Lot's decision to live in Sodom and Gomorrah, in that area, caused him to choose his friends, or choose friends who were not true friends. Eventually, his decision actually cost him his friends. As Lot left Sodom and Gomorrah, it was Lot and his wife and his two daughters. Every friend that he made in that city died, along with part of his family. The decision that he made cost him his friends. So let me ask you this, how will this decision affect your friendships? There's so many practical applications here. Your decision to take advantage of somebody in a business deal, how's that going to help or hurt your friendships? Just think through that. I have people that I know and people that used to be friends who are no longer friends because somebody took advantage of somebody else in a business deal. You've got the mate factor, you've got the children factor, the family factor, the friend factor. Then there's the influence factor. Lot gained influence in the city. He's one of the men that sat at the gate. But in gaining influence in the city, he lost influence with his family. Whenever he went to his daughters and to his sons-in-laws and said, "It's time to leave the city. If we don't, we're going to die," they didn't listen to him. His decision ended up costing him his influence. Let me ask you this. How will this decision affect your influence? Do people respect you now? What if you lie about this or this or this? What if you treat somebody at work or in your family unethically? You have a decision to make. You can treat somebody right, or you can take advantage of somebody and maybe get something out of it, but how is that going to help or hurt your influence? As we're looking at decisions, and we need to decide, is that going to help my influence, or is it going to hurt my influence? Number six is the God factor. This is huge. Lot didn't teach his family about God the way he should have. Abraham went to God and said, God, if there's 50 righteous people in that city, will you spare the city? And God said, I'll spare the city for 50 righteous people. And Lot said, and Abraham said, God, if there's 40 righteous people in that city, will you spare the city for 40 righteous people? And God said, I'll spare that city for 40 righteous people. He went all the way down to 10. And Abraham said, God, would you spare the city for 10 righteous people? And I've wondered if Lot thought, well, there's Lot, if Abraham thought there's Lot and there's his wife and he's got these two daughters and he's got a couple daughters that married other husbands and that's eight. And if they had kids, maybe they've taught their kids. Maybe Lot told somebody about God while he was there. Maybe there's 10 righteous people there, but there weren't even 10 righteous people there. Lot didn't teach his family about God the way he should have. He didn't live a life that was pleasing to God. I believe Lot's decision cost him, in a large way, his relationship with God. I don't know what his relationship with God was before. But when he chose, he decided to live in this well-watered plain of Sodom, this plain of decision, he decided that, and he let his relationship with God just kind of fall off. The last factor is the service factor. Was Lot serving God in Sodom? He didn't tell others about God in Sodom, or if he did, they certainly didn't listen. Lot served the society instead of serving God. The Bible says he became a man in leadership sitting at the gate. Lot's decision cost him his ability to serve God. Let me ask you this. How will this decision affect your service toward God? I'll make it practical again. And I know this is kind of high-end. It's kind of hard to make practical sometimes. But let me ask you this way. Every year, we select deacons at our church. This is just one example. And every year, the current deacons, they'll sit at a table and they'll say, let's get some more men involved. Let's get more deacons. And one of the requirements of a deacon is that they're a husband of one wife. And I believe that means that they haven't been divorced. Did you realize that the decision years ago, and sometimes it's not something you can help, I understand that, but because of that circumstance in life years ago, we have a lot of men that would love to serve as deacons in our church that just can't because they've been divorced, all right? People who want to be in ministry. If I wanted to be a pastor, but I had been divorced because say it's the same requirement for husband and either I have two wives at the same time or I'm divorced one, married another. People interpret that differently. My interpretation of that is two wives that are alive at the same time or is another one. The Bible says one of the requirements for a pastor is that their children not be unruly. Think of unruly. Think of the prodigal son. He ran away and lived a riotous life and unruly. That would disqualify me from being able to be a pastor. So there's some decisions that are made here, but you don't feel the consequences till later on, and it limits your ability to serve. I want every one of us. I want every one of us to be able to serve God to the best of our potential and serve God with our whole lives. Here's one, and I'll have to be done. I know I can give you these examples for a while, but here's a big one that affects most of us. A decision to go into debt is a decision that will affect our ability to serve. If God called us or God called you to serve on a mission field tomorrow, could you do it? Or is there so much debt hanging over us that we would say, God, I'd love to serve you, but I can't do that. Just got too much baggage. There's so many areas like that. As we're making decisions, and as we're in the plane of decision, consider these factors. Consider the mate factor. Consider, how is this going to affect my children or my future children? How is this going to affect my family? How is this decision going to affect my friends? How is this decision going to affect the way people see me? Will it help me have more influence or less influence? How will this decision affect my relationship with God? Will I grow closer to God because of this decision, or will I go further away from God because of this decision? That's one that's an everyday decision. As I allow myself into sin or allow sin into me, my relationship with God dims. God never stops being your Father if you're saved. You're always a child of God if you're saved. But the closeness of your relationship is strained, if I could say it that way. If I choose to sin today, if I choose to watch something today, I'm teaching in my Sunday school class, I'm teaching on media and how much we've got to be careful with TV and videos and video games and social networking, because there's a lot of sin that can very easily be accessed. The movies that we watch. My decision to watch this movie, and I have to be done. I know I've said this twice now. This is the third time. All right, three strikes, you're out. My decision to watch this movie, is that going to help my relationship with God, or is it going to hurt my relationship with God? An everyday decision. The last factor was the service factor. Can I serve God better because of this decision, or will it make it harder for me to serve God? Will it hinder my service for God? Father, thank you for letting us take just a few moments this morning, and I pray that you would challenge us. This is something I believe we can use today. We have decisions that we have to make. And every one of us, we're constantly making decisions. Lord, I pray that you would help us to make the right decisions. Lord, help us to make decisions that will help our families and help our relationship with you and help our ability to serve you and help our relationship with friends. Lord, help us to make these wise decisions. Lord, there's young people right now. They're making some of the biggest decisions in their entire life. What are they going to do with their life? What are they going to believe? Who are they going to marry? Lord, these decisions will alter their entire life for good or for bad. And Lord, I pray that you would help them to make wise decisions. Lord, please guide our young people as they make some of these decisions. Guide our adults as we make these decisions.